It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Is God's Word, the Scriptures, the Bible, is God's Word enough? Or do we need signs, wonders, miracles today? Should people simply be expected to believe because something's written in the Scripture? I'm talking about worldly people who don't know God, because it's the Bible. Or should we expect God to confirm His Word supernaturally as He did in New Testament times? Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me directly at Dr. Brown, that's drbrown, at askdrbrown.org. The issue of miracles, miraculous confirmation of the Word, this is not a new subject for me to be thinking about. It's something I've thought of often over the decades in the Lord, something I've studied intensively in Scripture, prayed about much, and something that's always of interest for the show. But yesterday I was driving in my car, listening to Christian radio, to this very station in my area in Charlotte, and I heard a fine Bible teacher talking about the apostles, and he was going through Matthew 10, and he said something very interesting. Now, this is a fine teacher of the Word who does not believe that miraculous signs and wonders are for today, who does not believe that gifts of healing and miracles are for today. And he was talking about Jesus sending out his 12 in Matthew, the 10th chapter, and how he sent them out, and their main job, of course, was to preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is near. And then as they preached, to perform certain signs and wonders and miracles, driving out demons, healing the sick, cleansing the leper, raising the dead. And this Bible teacher said something very interesting. He said they would go out and preach, but why should people listen to them? Why should people listen to their message? I mean, who are they anyway? They're proclaiming this message. They're unknown, not standout people in their society. They're preaching this message. Why should anyone listen to them? Well, then they perform the miracles, and people would then listen. Okay, this is a real message. The kingdom of heaven is here. We should pay attention to what they have to say. Now, of course, I know he has a theological answer for my question, but the question that came to mind is, well, why is it any different today? Why is it any different when the gospel goes into a new area where people have never heard the name of Jesus? Maybe one-third of the world's population has not heard the name of Jesus, doesn't know who he is. That name does not bring any meaning to them whatsoever. You come and declare to them this message from God. Some of them don't even know who God is or what one true God is. You come with this message about God, this message about Jesus, and urge them to turn from their sin and to believe in him. Why should they believe you just because you have a Bible in your hand? You say, no. Brother, you don't understand. You don't get it. When Jesus came into the world, it had to be demonstrated that he was truly the Messiah. Once it was demonstrated that he was the Messiah, and we have the Scriptures complete, the canon of Scripture complete, we don't need miraculous confirmation because we have the Word of God, which tells us the record about Jesus, who was already identified by God. Just like the children of Israel didn't need Mount Sinai in every generation. Mount Sinai came, God spoke, he performed miracles, delivered his people from Egypt, brought them to the mountain, spoke to them, the whole nation heard. He didn't have to do that in every generation. Once it was done, it was established and then passed on. Some might say, yeah, but that's one thing when it was passed on within the faith community. It's another thing entirely when you go to people who've never heard the message, who don't believe. Now, the question is, if we should expect signs, wonders, miracles today, at least on some level, to accompany the preaching of the word, then does that mean the Bible is not enough? Does that mean that God's Word itself is not sufficient? Does that mean that we need Scripture plus something? Or do the Word and Spirit always work hand in hand? And then what's the difference between that and someone who is a believer saying, well, God, I don't know if I should steal or not. I mean, I know it's written there, but I don't know if it's really you speaking, so you need to confirm that to me. You need to confirm that with a miracle so I should know not to steal. or I should know not to commit adultery. If you confirm it with a miracle, then I'll know. Otherwise, I don't know if that's really you speaking. Is that a fair comparison? What about Jesus rebuking religious leaders in his day and saying, you're looking for a sign. The only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. In the case of Jesus saying he was going to die and 3 days later rise from the dead, that's the only sign you're going to get. He rebuked the religious leaders for constantly asking for a sign. Yet on the flip side, he constantly performed miracles and said, believe me, based on the evidence of the works. And after he was risen from the dead, the disciples continued to pray for God's miraculous power to be manifest. In Acts, the fourth chapter, for example, after a season of persecution, they cried out and they asked God to stretch forth his hand and confirm the preaching in the name of Jesus with signs and wonders and miracles. Then someone else might say, but God already warned us, Deuteronomy 13, doesn't matter what miracles, what signs or wonders there are, as long as it contradicts the revelation in the Torah, if it says follow other gods, then doesn't matter how many miracles are performed. You know, what if, I'm speaking to evangelical Christians and Mormons and others that are listening, to an evangelical Christian friend, what if a Mormon came and said, I'm going to prove to you that the Book of Mormon is true. Just watch, and they prayed for your child who was sick, and the child was healed. Would you then believe? Or would you say that was a demonic manifestation? How do we sort these things out? Is it very simple? Am I making a complicated thing simple, or a simple thing complicated? 866-34-TRUTH. Again, my fundamental question, though, is if the gospel came with miraculous confirmation in the first century, why should we think it will come today to the unsaved? Okay, to the unsaved. I know I asked about what about the believer who says, should I commit adultery? Should I steal? You're going to have to confirm that with a sign. I'm throwing that in for discussion's sake. But for those who are now going to places where the gospel has not been before, where the name of Jesus is not known, how should they believe? You say, well, the Holy Spirit will convict them through the word. Oh, okay. I believe the Holy Spirit will be working as the word of God is being preached, but is there no place for signs and wonders? As we hear reports about Muslims turning to the Lord, about Hindus turning to the Lord, about people engaging in tribal religion, animism, Buddhism, turning to the Lord, because when the name of Jesus is preached and the gospel is preached and people are called to turn to him, God miraculously backs that with healing, with miracles. Should we say that that's just fake, phony, demonic? Or should we rejoice that Jesus is risen and in his name the same things are being done today as were done in his lifetime and the lifetime of the apostles? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. We base our theology on Scripture, right? We don't base our theology on experience. We base our theology on Scripture. And then we do our best to get our experience to line up with Scripture. If God's Word says something is true, something is so, something should be realized in our lives, let's say that we're called to live a certain way and our lives don't seem to be able to get to that place, well, then we cry out to God and we examine our lives and we do what we know how to do in harmony with God's Word to get our life, our experience, to line up with Scripture. We don't base our theology on experience, on feelings. If I'm healed, that doesn't prove healing is for today. If I'm not healed, that doesn't disprove healing is for today. Ultimately, I have to base things on Scripture. That being said, if I see the Word of God encouraging me to pray, encouraging me to ask God, let's say we have an urgent ministry need for one of our missionaries on the field, and I feel urged on, moved on by the Lord to pray that God would supernaturally meet that need. Let's say they need $100,000 in the next 24 hours, and I have no possible way of helping them with that. And I pray, and God answers. Doesn't that encourage me to believe what is written? In other words, I'm not basing my theology on my experience. I'm basing my theology on the Word, and now my experience is confirming what is written in the Word. So in the same way, if someone is preaching in the name of Jesus, God's power, God's reality, God's kingdom coming, and then God's kingdom is manifest in power and healing, deliverance, and setting captives free, shouldn't that encourage me to further believe these things that are written? One other question to throw out. Haven't asked this in a while. Jesus constantly engaged in driving out demons. It was happening constantly. It's a sign of the kingdom of God breaking into this world. And we see demons being driven out, some prominent accounts in the book of Acts. How come it's not happening so much today? Where have all the demons gone? It's one thing to debate healing, miracles, other things, but what about demons and deliverance? Is that for today? If not, what happened to all the demons? Where'd they go? 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, you know what month this is? As our president has called us to celebrate a special month of June. Talk about it when we come back. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Have you been to the website lately? If not, then you don't know about a special offer this month. So go to askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage or right on the Line of Fire page as you click there. It's relevant to today's show. One of the most important books I've written over the years is called Whatever Happened to the Power of God. It asks the question, is the charismatic church slain in the spirit or down for the count? And recently reprinted together with It's Time to Rock the Boat, A Call to God's People to Rise Up and Preach a Confrontational Gospel. Trust me, friends, these books will rock your world. So do your best to read them, pass them out to your friends. Our question today, is the Bible alone enough? Or does God's word still require miraculous confirmation? I mean, Jesus is completely sufficient in and of himself. His words will never pass away. And yet, when he was on the earth, he demonstrated who he was by the performing of miracles and then had his disciples do the same thing after he rose from the dead. If it was necessary to confirm the word then, why isn't it necessary to confirm the word today? Or when we start thinking like that, do we open up a can of worms, open ourselves up to deception? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. EJ in Sassoon City, California. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Mr. Brown. I remember I called him last time, and I've been following him all of your conversations, so it's been very insightful. But to first answer your very first question, because I was taking notes, you asked, you know, is God's word enough? And if so, then how should those who have not heard God, should they receive it? Well, the Bible says that by our fruit, they will know it. So when you go overseas, you can talk about God, but if you don't show them God, and God is life and life more abundantly, then they will never know. And those who actually receive Christ, they not only are their spirits transformed, but their lifestyle also has to be transformed too. Now, what the problem is that here in America, we have a Western philosophy. That is, God, you know what, you're going to do this, that, and the other for me, and in return, I do nothing. Therefore, that's why Christians are looked at to where we're all talkers, but no action behind us. The old saying, you know, of putting your money where your mouth is, you don't live up to that. Now, your other question is that, you know, if we do believe God's word is, we also need to, you know, have deeds behind it as miracles. The question that you said that, you know, about the adulteress or someone stealing, now that's where wisdom and understanding kicks in. Due to the fact that we don't actually apply the word of God and begin to meditate on his word, we say, well, Lord, you know what, should I steal? Should I commit adultery? Well, God's word tells us what we should and should not do, so that way people can know who Christ is. That alone is a miracle in ourselves. So outside of, you know, healing the sick, if our lives are not transformed, meaning that we're no longer smoking, out to do committing sin again, if we're not prosperous and whatever that we do in our lives, how can people even know who God is? And then your last question about demons and demonic, that then and there, a lot of us have said, you know what, God, I hear no evil, see no evil, therefore there will be no evil. But I can't go, I know for myself, even, you know, whenever I walk down the street, it's always in my face. Whether, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, it's there.
All right, let me just jump in, and I appreciate you tackling all the questions at once. And thanks for the kind words about the show. So just my one specific question.
Okay.
If it's undeniable that the devil is still at work, that demonic spirits are still at work, that there's demonic presence in different situations or even in people, The question is then, does that mean that all Christians should believe that driving out demons is something for today? In other words, if demons are still here, then should we all agree that demons should be driven out in Jesus' name?
Yes, definitely, because if we let them stay in the camp, then there is no change.
Got it.
A good example is that a snake will always first befriend a mouse before killing it. And if we keep letting snakes, you know, as the rogues and mavericks in the camp and not actually deal with their issues, and then from there, if a church splits, if there's a church scandal, now, actually going further, we have now broken away from protocol.
All right. Hey, EJ, I appreciate the comments and
no
calling
problem.
It. Tell me exactly where your city is again.
It's Susun, California, Susun.
Okay, got it. All right, thanks, man.
No problem. Take care.
I was trying to get the pronunciation of the city right and didn't quite get it, but it's there. The city remains there just the same. So, again, I'm not trying to be silly with the demon question that I asked. I mean, this is real life and death stuff in terms of if we're going to just let the devil do whatever he wants to do and sit back. But it may sound like a strange discussion. But please hear me. A lot of people believe, and they believe based on Scripture, some based on Scripture and experience, that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today, that healing does not take place today the way it did in New Testament times, miracles, that those are not needed. God can do that if he wants, but it's not the pattern. Those things have ceased. Those who hold to this position are called cessationists, and they would say that once God gave us the Scriptures, the canon is closed, there's no more prophetic words activity, no more need for miracles because we have the Bible completed. So just a question I have for my cessationist friends then. Driving out demons was a very important thing in Jesus' ministry. The Bible talks about spiritual warfare that we engage in just in our own lives, living holy lives, submitting to God. But what about driving out demons from those who are demonized? Are people still demonized today? Whether you want to call them demonized, demon-possessed, are they still demonized, demon-possessed? If so, is there power to drive the demons out? Or is that just like believing in myths? Or if it's myths, then do we believe the Bible or not? 866-34-TRUTH, Ann in Jacksonville. Thanks for calling. Hello? You're on the air. You're on the air, Ann. If you could turn the radio down.
Yes.
Yep. Just need to turn the radio down in the background there.
Okay. Hi.
All right.
Answer to the first question is, yes. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Answer to the first question is, no, the Bible is not enough, because we know back in the time of Constantine that the people were put together to decide what is canonized and what is going to go in it. So there were scriptures that were left out. And to the second question, demons are still here. No, we should not let them possess people. And because we have, and, you know, it's a difference between society now and then, because then when the church had ruled, like the government rules today, everybody did things according to the way that the church would run society. But now that we are under a different type of rulership, you know, the demons that are in everyone and all of these unclean acts that everyone is doing today is common and is normal. And so they should be driven out in Jesus' name. And there are, you know, people that, you know, go to church and want to be healed, and it's just been, you know, common as sins, or, you know, the way they've always been, or, you know, all these different new titles they put.
Got it. All right. Hey, Ann, we're out of time. I appreciate the call. For our listeners in Jacksonville, tell your friends we are on 91.7 The Truth every day at this time. Okay, we got a bunch of things to sort out. We'll do that when we come back. And I've got some fascinating news from the White House. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Talking about miraculous confirmation of the Bible, is it still needed today? 866-34-TRUTH. Email me at Dr. Brown. It's drbrown@askdrbrown.org. Before I get back into that subject, I want to remind you of the urgency of praying for God's kingdom to come to America, the urgency of praying for our president and the administration. I've said repeatedly since Mr. Obama has been in office that my prayer is that he will be the greatest president in American history, that God will so get hold of him and use him and transform him, that we will think back to his name among the greatest presidents we've ever had. Sadly, in many ways, it's been quite the opposite of that so far, especially when it comes to many moral issues that relate to the body. Therefore, all the more do we pray for Mr. Obama and for his family and for the rest of the administration and Congress. So for many years now, the gay and lesbian community has designated June as Gay Pride Month. This was the month when the Stonewall riots happened last year in conjunction with the 40th anniversary of Stonewall riots. President Obama had 300 leading gay activists in the White House to commend them for the great progress that they had made in gay activism in the country. And he did this last year. He's done it again this year. The presidential proclamation, this was issued May 28th, but you may have missed it. Presidential proclamation, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. So, of course, transgender, that includes people who have sex change surgery as well as cross-dressers. This is the special month for transgender, bisexual, gay, and lesbian pride, according to the President of the United States. As he says, as we honor the LGBT Americans who have given so much to our nation, let us remember that if one of us is unable to realize full equality, we will all fall short of our founding principles. I'm certainly grateful for every contribution to America that has been made by a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender person, and I absolutely work against hatred and violence towards the homosexual, bisexual, transgender community, and I also work against gay activism. I work against the notion that homosexuality is just another acceptable alternative to heterosexuality. So I do not celebrate Gay Pride Month, and I mourn the fact that our president does. I have, from a gay activist website, a list of all of the openly gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender appointments that have been made by our president. Beginning with, in alphabetical order, Mark Agrest, who is the Deputy Assistant Attorney General, Office of Legislative Affairs at the Department of Justice, and including men like Harry Knox, who I debated back in 2008, practicing homosexual, claiming to be born-again Christian. He is a member of President's Advisory Council on Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships, including Kevin Jennings, who is a gay activist who's worked in the schools for many years, who is now the so-called Safe School Czar, technically the Deputy Assistant Secretary, Office of Safe and Drug-Free Schools. But the list I have here is almost 3 pages long. I mean, if I'm just counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, They may be qualified to do certain jobs. They may be very unqualified to do other jobs like Kevin Jennings or Harry Knox. But all the more reason that we should be praying, friends, for the President of the United States. Listen, I have issues with him. It's easy to have issues. It's harder to pray. Can you join me in praying that God would bring righteousness into the Obama administration and turning of hearts to God? No, I'm not looking for a theocracy. I'm not looking... Please hear me. I'm not trying to reconstitute ancient Israel and institute biblical law across the nation and start stoning adulterers and burning witches. Okay? Furthest thought from my mind. I am simply praying for righteousness. Ought we not to? Should we be praying for unrighteousness? Should we be hoping for lawlessness? doesn't the scripture tell us in Proverbs 14:34 that righteousness exalts a nation, any nation, but sin's a reproach to any people? Didn't Jesus teach us to pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Shouldn't we be praying that for America, for the White House? If you live in a different country, you should be praying that for your country as well. And let's pray for the gay and lesbian community that God's mercy, God's grace, God's repentance, God's transforming power would reach them. Okay, so back to the question I've been asking about the gospel coming with miraculous power. I phrased the question intentionally to be controversial by saying, is the Bible enough, or does the Bible still need supernatural confirmation? When God spoke words through Moses, he supernaturally confirmed so that the people would know it was real. He spoke to the nation from Mount Sinai so they would know that it was really him speaking, that Moses was truly his servant. He confirmed the words of the prophets so the people would fear God and listen to their words. When the Messiah came into the world, he came with miraculous confirmation. He sent his disciples out, and they preached and ministered with miraculous confirmation. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of words only, but of power. He wrote that in the fourth chapter, but in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he explained the type of power he was referring to, God's demonstration of power in the miraculous that's commonly seen in Paul's ministry and detailed in 1 Corinthians. No one argues that. No one argues that Jesus, believers argue with the fact that Jesus performed signs, wonders, and miracles, that the apostles performed signs, wonders, and miracles. But there are many who say that those signs, wonders, and miracles ceased when the last of the apostles died, when the canon of Scripture was complete. What has always baffled me about that argument, and I'm a colleague of people who teach that, in different seminaries where I'm a professor, I have friends who love the Lord that hold to that view, whom I respect as men and women of God. Yet I've always found it peculiar to think that I could go, say, into Muslim territory where people have perhaps never seen a Bible. The only Bible they know is the way it's recapitulated with many changes in the Quran, that I could go there and tell them, believe what I say because I have the Bible, and the canon of Scripture is complete, therefore there's no need for miraculous confirmation, or that I could go to tribal animist people, say in the jungles of India or Africa, and just because I'm coming with a Bible that they would therefore believe it. Maybe you can enlighten me on that and help me to see the power of that argument, but it's always struck me as strange. It's one thing for me as a believer. Now that I know God is true and his word is true, I don't need miraculous confirmation to obey him. His word says it. End of subject. I don't need a dream or goosebumps or a vision or an angel because it's written in the word, and I know it's true. But what I ask is the Bible enough? Doesn't the Bible tell us to expect the miraculous, especially when we go to the lost with the gospel? Doesn't God himself by his Spirit work in conjunction with what is written to confirm that this is his word? Doesn't the Bible tell us to expect that? We'll be back. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Before I get to your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, one more thing I just wanted to say about the pervasive nature of gay activism in our society. Do you know who Harvey Milk is? Do you realize that May 22nd was Harvey Milk Day, that schools throughout California were mandated, this is passed by legislature, signed by Governor Schwarzenegger, mandated to celebrate Harvey Milk Day? He was one of the first openly gay politicians elected in America. Of course, the Academy Award-winning film about him, Sean Penn winning Academy Award nomination for his portrayal of Harvey Milk, didn't mention his promiscuity, didn't mention his special interest in younger men, even teenage boys. Didn't mention that. He was not killed because he was gay. He was killed, along with the mayor, by a former disgruntled colleague. His legacy is now celebrated in California, in schools, the teachers are encouraged to learn lessons and teach lessons from his life. Just another reminder to be praying for our nation. Okay, is the Bible enough? Does it require miraculous confirmation, especially going to the lost? Or does the Bible tell us that God will miraculously confirm his word when it does go to the lost, especially those who've never heard? Donald in Greensboro, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, this is Dr. Brown?
Yes, it is, man.
I listen to your program all the time, every day, and I enjoy everything. I want to do this quick, but I don't say it's confirmation, but if the Bible says there's a gift, in 1 Corinthians, you had all gifts in there listed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, helps
and all that stuff. So if those other gifts like tongues and all that other stuff is gone, the apostles' gift is gone too, right? If you're going by the Bible.
If you're going to argue, if you're going to argue that the gifts have ceased, then apostles, prophets, they've all ceased as well.
That's right. That's it's just common sense. But I'm like you. I have friends. We don't argue about it. But when they say that, I'm saying this is everything's supposed to be gone. You know, you can't say one. But as far as confirmation, I believe there's a gift, and not just for to confirm it.
Yes.
But because it's for ministry.
Right.
It's for ministry.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Donald, I appreciate you listening regularly. That's a blessing to hear. And there are two sides to it. One, if the Bible says it, then we should expect it. And two, according to 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts are for the good of the body because God loves us and cares. And look, he is alive and he's still acting and speaking.
Yes.
Hey, man, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Yes, you be blessed, okay?
God bless you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, Philip in Richmond, thanks for calling today.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks, sir.
This is actually my first time calling in. A friend of mine started me listening to it today. But I think that it's very prevalent today, and it's, you know, I don't see why that people would think that it isn't. Because Jesus himself said that, you know, greater works that you will also do. You know, so it's like, I don't understand where it's coming from that, you know, we're not supposed to do these things.
Yeah, where's the controversy? You know, Philip, it's a great point, and thanks for tuning in. Glad to have you as a listener in Richmond. You know, let's think of what Jesus said there in John 14:12. He didn't say the super apostles or the superstars or the people with mega faith. He said, whoever believes in me, the works I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. So, you know, sometimes people debate what are the greater works. Well, how about the same works? I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's all by faith that we do these things. You know, we all are supposed to look towards him in doing anything. Well, you know, whether it's not just going about our day-to-day lives, we're supposed to look towards him because, you know, that can be, you know, as great a miracle as anything, you know, even waking up sometimes could be a great miracle. But, you know, I think we should always just always look towards him. And, you know, I think a lot of people are leaning to their own understanding on things. You know, they're looking around at the things that they can see, touch, taste, smell, and hear. You know, you're dealing with the fleshly realm, you know, the things here. We're supposed to be dealing with the things of God, the spiritual things, you know. And I just, you know, I really pray for, you know, pray for us as a body, you know, because I think that I think a lot of people aren't really looking towards Jesus as being risen. They're looking towards him as just being a man and walking around and doing the things that he did.
Or, let me just jump in, Philip, because we got a break. I totally agree that we need to walk by faith 24/7 and be people of the Spirit. And you're right. It's one thing to say he rose from the dead. It's another thing to say that means that he is alive and active and at work. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for tuning in. I've got a question. We come back about what makes something a miracle. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. Hey, friend, just a reminder that some of the best discussion takes place after the show is over. In fact, it sometimes gets passionate and lengthy and detailed right on our website. So go to askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. If you missed the shows, remember you can subscribe by podcast. It's free to do so. If you're blessed and want to help us with the expenses, that's awesome as well. Okay, I started off the broadcast talking about teaching I heard on the radio, fine Bible teacher, nationally respected. I respect him. He's talking about when Jesus sent the apostles out, the disciples out to preach in Matthew 10, that when they brought their message, why would people listen to them? So they perform miracles to demonstrate in Jesus' name that their message was true, then people would listen. But this same brother does not believe that these things happen with regularity today, which leads to the question, well, why would people believe just because I come with a holy book? I remember one missionary testifying he had gone to India and was living in a Muslim area in India, began to share the gospel with people and said, hey, you know, you should believe this message. And he pulled out his Bible and they pulled out their Quran. I have copies of the Quran in my library that are beautiful and beautifully bound and lovely. And they had their holy book. He had his holy book. They prayed five times a day. He didn't pray five times a day. But his message didn't come with power. Now listen, I know that the Holy Spirit works through the Word and there is the power of the message. Hearts are convicted. God backs it in that way. But he also backs it by demonstrating that Jesus is alive. And we hear reports just about day and night of people healed, delivered, blind eyes open, even people born blind healed by the power of God, not as some carnal, silly display. You say, how come I'm not seeing it on TV? Because most of the stuff's not going to be on TV and shouldn't be on TV and gets prostituted when it just gets put on TV as some kind of a display in many cases. I'm talking about out there, and some of our workers, our grads, our friends are out there in difficult areas where the gospel has not gone. Jesus is being demonstrated as risen from the dead. He sent his Spirit and power. Look in the book of Acts, see what the Holy Spirit did. Read the book of Acts right to the end and tell me that somehow there's not a continuation of the story through God's people after that. God continued to speak. No, not adding to the Bible, but continuing to speak. The Holy Spirit backing his word that Jesus is alive in the earth today. So here's the question I want to leave you. If you are praying for financial supply, you're in a crisis, and you're crying out to God, it's a legitimate need. It's not because of waste on your end. It's a legitimate need. You're crying out, and God miraculously meets that need. Or you need guidance. You can't decide. Major family decision. And somehow the right choice just pops in front of you. Is that less of a miracle than God healing someone or God delivering someone from demons? And I asked earlier, where have all the demons gone? If there is so much demon presence in the New Testament in biblical days, and Jesus constantly driving out demons and the apostles driving out demons, where have the demons gone? If they're still around, shouldn't we be ministering in the power of the Spirit to drive out demons also and set people free? Remember, again, Paul's words, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of words only, but of power. Ask yourself the question, where is the power of the gospel? Yes, to transform lives, to free us from the power of sin, to conform us to the image of Jesus. Start there, begin there, end there, absolutely. But along with that, where's the power of the gospel to set prisoners free? Remember to go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Take advantage of the special offer to get extra copies of Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and It's Time to Rock the Boat. And tomorrow, you've got questions, we've got answers. Tomorrow's your day to call in with questions about anything on your mind whatsoever that relate to the Line of Fire broadcast. Let's press into Jesus' heart, soul, mind, strength. Let's see him glorified while we have opportunity. The greater the darkness, the more the light is needed, and the brighter the light will shine. You be blessed.